Pete Price's Sunday Best on Radio City 2.
I've got the director. Hello.
Hello, how are you, sir?
I'm so excited about this film.
Excellent.
Because it's been around the script for a long time, hasn't it?
It has. It's been going to and fro from various studios. And then Barbara Broccoli got a hold of it. Because Peter Turner, who wrote the book of the same name, and Barbara Broccoli are good friends. They've been friends for a long, long time, 40 years or something. So Barbara encouraged Peter to write his memoir, and then the book, I think, got sold to another studio, and it went to and fro, and then sometimes it takes that long to make a film, you know. Sometimes it's just everybody's just lined up.
But as a filmmaker, does that not amaze you?
It does. I mean, the thing is, you know, as a filmmaker who's a director, you only ever hear about it when you're doing it, rather than all the other stories that you've heard.
So you've heard about them. How long they've been around. Some people didn't want it. Some people did.
I think they all wanted to make it, but they couldn't really figure out. You know, it's hard, and sometimes the environments of film changes. So sometimes it's the big blockbusters, and that's all people want to do. Sometimes people want to make a certain genre of film, whether it be period or whatever. So I guess this just came around at the right time, and we had Stuart Ford, who's a Liverpudlian, who runs IM Global in Hollywood, and he had some money, and Barbara Broccoli, of course, she's the Bond producer. So these two heavyweights wanted to make this film, and Stuart is... So I went into his office, and I saw him with a... He has a Liverpool shirt framed up on his wall, and I was like, this is going to be easy, this will sell to sell him this story. And and you know, he was gracious enough to come in and co-finance it with Barbara Broccoli.
So when did you come on board?
I came on board 2 years ago, so I'm a very young one. Me and Jamie Bell were the two ones to come on the last. So I was at a screening, and Colin Baines, one of the producers, saw me, and he said to me, you know, look, I've got a script I really would love you to look at. You know, I think you'd be really great for this. And so he just gave me the script. He also gave me Peter Turner's book as well. So on my train journey from London back up to Scotland, I read both, and I was totally amazed by the story. I couldn't believe this actually happened.
I couldn't imagine life without films. I honestly, I was watching movies before you were born. I'm that old. I couldn't imagine life without films.
No, same here.
And now the industry is taken off beyond belief, hasn't it?
I think, you know, the whole digital revolution has really become such an interesting... We're in an interesting field now of filmmaking, where, you know, people will go and watch a $100,000 movie, and some people will go and watch a $150 million movie. You know, it's whether it's a good story or not, and I think that's good. And it's great that everyone has a camera, and everyone has these things, and phones and recorders, and that we can record in our lives, and we all have stories to tell. And I think it's nice that we have access now to that material, because back in the days, you know, to get a film made, you had to pick up, I mean, to get a roll of film was a lot of money, right? Cameras are a lot of money, but now you can make it, and I think that's really, that's a good thing. I think it's a positive thing, you know.
What do you want people to walk out the cinema thinking?
Who was Gloria Graham? And I would love to see some of her movies, because that's what I think Peter Turner in the 80s, in LA, in 1978, when he met her, you know, he didn't have a phone that had a Google on it. Otherwise, there'd be no story to tell, you know. So his story is through his eyes, so he gets to know Gloria the way the audience do. Like, who is this woman? She won an Oscar. What did she win an Oscar for? What movies have I seen her in? Because that's what I did when I heard that it was about Gloria Graham. I kind of knew the name, and suddenly when I Googled her, I saw the picture, and I was like, of course, Gloria Graham, you know, the Big Heat, you know, the In a Lonely Place, you know, The Bad and Beautiful, all these things. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. It's about her. And so I want people to go out of the theatre and Google her, and hopefully, you know, like I do, went back and looked at some of her films and really, really got into it, you know.
So what made you take the job?
The story. It's always about the story. And to work with Barbara and Colin, it's the story, though. The story is really everything to me, you know. And I was really moved by it. And I thought I could do something with it. I thought I could really bring something to it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm with the writer. Oh, my word.
How are you, Pete?
How cool is this?
How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
You must be excited about
it. It is exciting, isn't it? It's great to be in Liverpool and be showing the film in Liverpool to all my mates and all my family. And it's everyone's been so supportive. So I'm a bit nervous about them seeing it as
well. I can understand that, but tell me, give us a potted history of the length of this film being made.
Oh, my goodness me. So we go back to, okay, I started to write the book in 1984. It was published in 1986, and, you know, to my kind of, you know, big genuine surprise, it had about 11 interests for, you know, film interest. I suppose it's because of the subject and the relationship and, you know, that potential casting of a big, you know, Hollywood female star in her kind of, you know, in her 50s. So that was always a kind of big pull towards it all. And it was optioned by a big American film company. A screenplay was written. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for one thing or reason or another. And then the film studio dropped it. They kind of went round the houses, as film projects do. I mean, it's a surprise that any film ever gets made. It's so tough making films. It gets tougher and tougher and tougher. And so, you know, I thought that we'd lost it. And I sort of, you know, didn't think about it. Barbara Broccoli bought the rights. She kind of rescued it and said, I'm going to make this film. It might take me a few years. She didn't tell me it was going to be 23 years. But, you know, she wanted to wait for the right circumstances, and I'm glad that it's made now, because if it was made before, we wouldn't have had Jamie Bell, because he'd been far too young, and now he's a grown-up man, and he's a wonderful actor, and he's a film star himself, and he just gives this sensational performance. And then you have Annette Bening, who is incredible. I mean, you know, talk about kind of Hollywood royalty, and she kind of gives it so much, and her performance is just, well, it's just more than great. It's fantastic, really. And the two of them work together very well. It's a great on-screen romance, chemistry. So I'm glad that it's been made now after all this time.
And how many times do you have to pinch yourself that it's done?
Oh, I've got bruises all over myself, really. My hair's fall out.
Don't know about your private life. I'm talking about the film. I can't even imagine how you feel. I honestly can't imagine how you feel.
I can't imagine how I feel either. It just,
how did you feel the first time you saw it? Finished.
Gosh, finished. Well, did I went cry? To see. I went to see with Paul, McGuigan, the director, and he asked me to go and see a very, very early cut of the film. And I saw it with him in a screening room in London with Barbara Broccoli, and we were all nervous of watching it, really. I mean, you know, you never know what the film is going to be like until you kind of see it for the first time. And so we all sat there and had a bit of a cry, and then a laugh, and then we went for a drink.
A big one.
Yeah, it was
so, to finish off, what do you want people to feel when they walk out the cinema?
I'd like them to feel that, you know, they've had a worthwhile experience, that they've enjoyed this film, that, you know, that they have a visit to the cinema, that, you know, we all love that, gives you kind of romance and fun and drama and pathos and sadness and happiness. It goes through all these different emotions. And in films, you know, I write, you know, for people to read and you know, want to be involved in making films for people to see. That's what films are made for people to see, for an audience. And so if our audience, you know, think that it's money well spent and that they've had a good night at the pictures and they've, you know, they've, it touched them, it affected them, you might have learned something, as you do.
So
you learn something about yourself, or you have an understanding about something else or someone else. I hope that people, you know, I hope that happens, really.
Tell everybody the title.
It's called Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool.
Now, the reason I asked you that is, how many times have you changed the title of it from day one all those years ago?
It's never been changed.
Oh, it's always been the same. Wow. That's great in itself.
No one dare change it. I mean, not because of it, but because of it, you know, it's Liverpool.
Yep.
I mean, they'd be mad to kind of change Liverpool, wouldn't they? And to not have Liverpool in the title.
Young lady.
Yes, I like that.
50 years in my industry, and I have always wanted to interview our greatest star. Congratulations on your award.
Thank you.
Why this script?
Because it was a good one. It was a really, really interesting, it's a fascinating story, and it's true. Annette Bening was going to play the central role, and Jamie Bell was going to play my son. I thought it couldn't get better, really. And Paul McGuigan, who is a really, really good and interesting and different director. And so, and Barbara Broccoli was producing, so you just go, yeah.
I've got to ask, how much work do you actually turn down? You must get so many scripts.
I don't have any scripts. I don't know. I guess a little stream of scripts through.
Really?
A little stream.
The other thing is, I've been a stand-up comic for 50 years as well as a broadcaster. Your comic timing is unique.
Is it?
I don't think you realise how good you are.
Oh.
Because
that's
you're
very
always
kind.
Very humble over your work. But you're just truly amazing what you do.
Oh.
I mean, I want to spend an hour with you one day. I want your management to allow me to go anywhere in the world to do an interview with you. That's how important you are to me. And that's how important you are to this industry. Because whatever you do on film is quite magical. Quite magical.
It's
you're
really
a magical
lovely.
Actress. It's a wonderful film. I've never seen you do a bad part.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Right, then best, hello.
Hello.
We haven't met since Educated Reader.
I know, yeah, a couple of years ago.
Tell us about this amazing film.
Oh, it's just a fantastic story. You know, that thing of strange truths, truth being stranger than fiction, and this unlikely love story. It's an amazing cast, beautifully directed.
So when did you get involved with it?
I was cast last year to play Pete's cousin Eileen.
Mm-hmm.
So we shot it last summer, I think it was, and yeah, but it's been a fantastic thing to see it come to life on the screen. It's beautiful.
Do you know what's amazing, talking now to you? I just remembered something that was said in the interview by Ethna Brown.
Oh.
Who said to me, she is going to go far.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
I'll buy you a drink later. Yeah.
So tell everybody what the film's actually about.
Well, it's the real-life telling of the sort of unlikely love story between Gloria Graham, who was an Oscar-winning actress from America, and Pete Turner, who was a young actor from Liverpool. And they met in the most sort of unlikely of circumstances and started a really beautiful, unusual love affair. And it's the story of that journey and what it meant to both of them and how it ended and the impact it had on his life and her life and his family. And it's a really beautiful piece of work.
How are people reacting to it?
I think overwhelmingly, I think people are deeply moved by it as a story of love and family and loss. And I think they're also, you know, Paul's directed it so beautifully in the performances, I mean, across the board, but certainly from Jamie and Annette Bening and Julie Walters. Ken Cranham.
Is that Dame Julie Walters?
I think it was, yeah. I've just curtsied and genuflected when you said her name. But on top of that, I think just a beautiful central female character at a certain time in her life, at the height of her kind of knowing of herself and the portrayal of that on screen and how complicated.
Do you ever sneak into a cinema and watch it by yourself with the people around who don't know who you are?
Do you know what's really interesting is that sometimes I have a real, you know, we're all a bit funny about watching ourselves, but in this instance, I'm a part of a really big tapestry. So I saw it at the premiere in London, and it was the first time I had seen it, and I cried through my bra. I was laughing my head off, I cried my eyes off, and then I've been to see it, and it's. It's a really special thing.
Do you like the title? Tell everyone what the title is, because it's really...
Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool.
It's a great title.
It's amazing. It? But it is the most... If you wrote it, if it wasn't a true-to-life story, people would go, oh, that's a bit of a stretch. Yeah. I don't know if I buy it. So the fact that this thing happened... Yeah. And, you know, it is astonishing, really.
Pete Price's Sunday Best. Call now, 0151 708 1059. Radio City Talk.